Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. I forgot to mute my mic, but now it's muted. It is your host, Bravo and Botox slash Emily here, coming to you from the Greater Toronto Area. And just a little reminder to everyone to please rate, review, subscribe, share. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell anyone who you think might be interested or will listen to the pod. Always, if you could help me grow, I would love that. If you could leave a 5-star rating and a kind review, that also helps me out. And if you're interested, I do offer 4 bonus episodes a week. $5 a month gets you 4 bonus episodes a week on patreon.com/bravoandbotox. I'll give you an example. This week, I discussed the Salt Lake City trailer. I discussed some tea I heard about Summer House Lover Boy event, as well as Carl's influencing and how that's going. And then I also discussed Sarah from RHO Dubai talking about her son's, the plan from her maid, etc., to kidnap her son, and how crazy that was, and my thoughts on that and the way she's handling it. So, you know, I get into kind of whatever topic comes across my lap that week. And then I also do a Ladies of London recap every week. We're about halfway through season 2, but you could, you know, if you want to do a rewatch and go back to season 1, it's on Hey You or Peacock or wherever. And you know, you can go back because all the episodes are on there. I started season 1, episode 1. I do a recap and it's fun. We're having a great time recapping this fantastic show that I wish was still on the air. That is, people call it like the cursed show. Okay. I didn't even know that till I started watching it, but there's a death. There's multiple deaths. Okay, including one of the ladies of London who sadly did pass away. There was also a alleged murder of the fiance of one of the ladies of London. So that kind of happens like after season 1, and there's some craziness around that I'm going to get into. But there is all sorts of high stakes, high level drama. And it's also just a great show. If you like Caroline Stanberry, you will love it. She is at her peak. Certainly. So come check that out with us. And, you know, once I'm done rewatching Ladies of London, who knows what'll be next. We will, you know, go forward and I take input on what to cover. And yeah, we have a great time. Okay, everyone. So let's get into the news. What am I going to start with? I think we need to start with the Valley because there's a lot. I think the Valley has the most news this week, maybe. Well, the most in terms of like different stories that are all kind of like interconnected, maybe not the longest, but okay. The biggest thing is that, and this is what everyone's been talking about, is that are Lala and Sheena officially filming for the Valley? So I mentioned last week that I had heard that, you know, they were filming in sort of like a friend of capacity in that, you know, the way that they'll like show up at a pool party or whatever. But now it seems confirmed that they are filming to fill the hole that Jax Taylor left. Okay. So this is according to, you know, TMZ and other sources. But listen, I still think, and I'm standing by this, I don't think they're full-time cast members. Like, I still don't think we need to panic. Here's what I think went down. I think Jax did something really bad, which is why he went to the mental health facility, because, you know, he's trying to get ahead of it. We're going to find out what it is. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling he said something that was like so bad and, you know, irreversible, unforgivable, that he had to go away to a mental health facility. And no, I'm not being insensitive, because I stand by my belief that Jax is the type who will use things like, you know, a mental health facility for his own gain. And I don't think that he's serious about it. I just don't. I think, like Tom Sandoval, who will use suicide, you know, for his own gain and to prove his point, I think Jax will do the same. I don't trust either of them. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. I believe them. Okay. So, and I have all the respect in the world to actual people who go to mental health facilities to get actual help. Not that Jax is not an actual person. I just don't think, I don't know if you can help someone like Jax with traditional therapy. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that. I feel like he's going to weaponize it, is what I'm saying. So I think something big happens, hence the PR move, and going to the mental health facility. Then I think that Brittany needs her like OG friends support, you know, like Sheena and Lala. So I think Lala and Sheena are going to come in and they're going to be like, you know, fuck Jax, we're here for you, Brittany. And they're going to be sort of like, you know, we always told you he was the worst. And they'll be there. They'll be there filming scenes as like Brittany's support system. That's what I think. Okay. Now, I know that like Lala tried to start some drama with Brittany over the whole like, you stole my nanny or whatever the hell that came up at the reunion, because Lala's like trying so hard. But I think that can be blamed on Jax. I'm pretty sure Brittany already said, whether it was on the podcast or somewhere else, pretty sure Brittany already said that she was blaming Jax for that anyways. So, you know, they could be made up in 2 seconds, right? That could be another scene, right? So listen, we don't need to panic. You know, Sheena and Lala, they're going to be there, unfortunately. And listen, everybody's like, Bravo doesn't listen to what we asked for. I mean, sadly, the reason that they're on is because we all hate them, because Bravo wants to bring Vanderpump Rules back, of course, because that's their like highest rated show right now. And those are two key cast members. So they want to get them some exposure that will make us all like them again, so that by the time the new season of Vanderpump Rules comes on, you know, we'll all be like kind of set back to neutral and ready to give Lala and Sheena another chance. That's what's really happening here, right? So like, we'll watch it and be like, okay, they are girls. Look at them supporting Brittany. Okay, I will watch the next season of Vanderpump Rules, or I will give them some forgiveness in how they treated Ariana. Like, that's what they're hoping for. This is like a test run, you know, getting things ready for Vanderpump Rules. I do not think they are permanently joining the Valley, though, the cast of the Valley. Okay, so, you know, all that being said, people are still pissed off about it. Now, the other thing is that Jax is officially out of the treatment, and he's, you know, according to TMZ, ready to be the number one guy in the group again. So sources told TMZ that he had the plan to leave the inpatient treatment center where he's been staying on Thursday and will be heading back to his home in Los Angeles. So that must mean he left yesterday, because today's Friday. And his priority is to spend time with his son, Cruz. He's living, you know, separately from Brittany, of course. Okay, where else? What else did they say? So he's expected to return to work, meaning the Valley. And the rest of the production on season 2, which started filming earlier in the summer. So yeah, like there were some rumors floating around that Jax was going to be fired and that he would not be returning after the mental health facility. I didn't really believe that, and I'm glad I didn't, because obviously it seems like that's not true. So he is filming, but Brittany Cartwright has said, and this is a quote from her, from a source close to Brittany, that they told People that at this time, the pair aren't capable of being in the same room together and being in communication with one another. So apparently Brittany has said she wants absolutely nothing to do with him, does not want to film with him, etc. And I mean, I don't blame her. And I also think that, I mean, I don't know what was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, clearly Jax has done like 5 gajillion things wrong, but there must have been something that really like pushed this over the edge. Because all of a sudden Brittany has gone from like, you know, we're broken up and we're trying to co-parent, to like absolute nuclear. Like, she's just you know, ripping him apart, right? She's posting about how he's not donating his cameos to charity. And now this brings me to the next Valley story. It seems that they have rebranded Jax's Studio City and they're calling it Brit's Studio City. So people took a picture of the sign outside and they put up like a, you know, it's kind of like one of those big banners and it says Brits and it's covering the name. And then there's pictures of like Kristen Doty, Zach, Brittany, and what's her name? The Miss USA one, the one that's like really gorgeous. I can't believe I'm forgetting her name right now. Okay, you know who I'm talking about, the former Miss USA, and they're all wearing Brits Studio City shirts. And it seems like this was an event that was being filmed. So, okay, I love it. A little bit of pettiness. Love that. How Jax will react, because I believe this is before he was out of the treatment center. That is to, you know, yet to be determined. All right, so what were the other things that we saw? So there's been a lot of pictures floating around of like Sheena with like Janet and people from the cast. I think Janet and Sheena have bonded over being like hated because everybody was so annoyed with Janet and, you know, everyone's always annoyed with Sheena. Sheena's probably like guiding her. Here's how to handle everyone thinking you're stupid and hating you. So there's been a lot of pictures of them together. The other last thing I wanted to talk about, this is not really related to like the Jax and Brittany of it all. This is about Michelle and Jesse Lolly, who, by the way, Jesse randomly like started following me on Instagram. I can't remember when it was. It was like a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, okay. Hey, Jesse. This is awkward because I'll post bad things about you, but whatever. Anyways, so maybe because I also post tweets making fun of Michelle as well. So maybe he's, I don't know, maybe he can laugh at the ones about him, but he likes the ones about his ex. I don't know. Okay. So, because honestly, they're both terrible. So Michelle put up a post. It was like a repost in her Instagram story. And it's a quote. And I do believe this is obviously directed at Jesse. It said, imagine making the mother of your child's life difficult when her whole life is surrounded when her whole life is, it's not the best quote, guys, is surrounded by providing security, love, and safety for your child. Okay. So clearly she's saying that like he's trying to make her life difficult or miserable when really, you know, she's just trying to be a good mom and they need to like co-parent. So, you know, she's clearly setting this up as like, you know, I'm the more mature one that's trying to like co-parent in an adult way. And you're the one who's being a baby. Now, is that probably true? Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I really could. But again, we'll have to see come the season. Although, you know, Jesse, I don't trust him. Like he's definitely the type who I think will be good at like, you know, he's smart. I think he's probably learned the game from season one, although he does seem to have some self-control issues sometimes. So we'll see. We shall see. Okay, let's go on to some Vanderpump Rules news. And no one got bit by a horse this week. I'm sorry to disappoint all of you because I know everybody loved that. If only, right? If only we could choose someone to get bit by a horse every week. This would be Lala's week. Actually, fine. I'll wait till she's not pregnant anymore. But anyways, let's go to Ariana Maddox's brother, Jeremy, getting busted for pot possession. So a lot of people might be like, who cares? It's pot. Listen, this is not like a story where there's any shade towards Ariana. What her brother does is clearly has nothing to do with her and is out of her control. I mean, clearly he's estranged from her because he's like been like throwing shade at her and like being a complete asshole since all this happened. But yeah, so he was busted though with over 100 pounds of weed, according to TMZ. Okay, so he's in major trouble with the law. They had suitcases filled with marijuana. So I guess they were about to board a flight to Frankfurt, Germany from Orlando International Airport. Okay, but they never got through the security checkpoint. I mean, what the fuck did they think was going to happen? What an idiot. So they had 64 bags of pot weighing a whopping 76 pounds. He has now been charged with felony trafficking of cannabis. Because obviously this is not like, oh, I just had a little bit of weed on me that I was going to smoke, like, you know, for my anxiety or some shit. Like, this is like, I was going to Germany. I had intent to distribute, right? So yeah, he had 64 bags, like I said. And an update is that Ariana's mom has written a letter to the judge as part of a plea for Jeremy's jail release. Bond was set at $80,000 after the hearing. Yeah, I wonder if he's like kicking himself now for burning his bridges with his sister, because maybe she would have bailed him out. I don't know. just saying, Jeremy. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, I mean, this guy's a loser, right? Okay. So meanwhile, Katie Maloney and Harry Jousy are seen at Surf Lodge together on Dumois. So it looks like that might still be a thing going on. So yeah, I wonder if it'll still be going on when Vanderpump Rules filming starts. Either way, I hate that we're missing stuff. I do wish that they were filming. I hope they start soon. Okay, then we have another story. So $1 million listings, Tracy Tudor is Team Lala Kent and thinks Ariana should move on from VPR. So basically the quote from this woman who I've never heard of said, "You have a responsibility when you sign up for a show like this to show up and be accountable, vulnerable, and aware." Bitch, did you watch the show? Because she is very aware, very vulnerable. And if anyone showed up, it was Ariana, not these other people who were faking it. Like, give me a break. So Katie Maloney did us all a favor and responded to the news story and wrote, "Shut up." And then Ariana replied and wrote, "Queen," to Katie. We love that. I don't know. Like, is Lala friends with this woman? Did she put her up to this? Or is this woman just some idiot who just, whatever, maybe they're acquaintances or something. Lala is still on her like little tour of not shutting up. I don't know who her publicist is. I don't know if she doesn't have a publicist. I don't know who's advising her or what's happening. She's still been going around, like I reported last week, with her like, "Ariana took money, food out of my kid's mouth," or whatever. And she's been talking even more this week and, you know, going on about how like, oh yeah, okay, so here's what she was talking about. Sorry, I almost forgot. She, because I saw this after I had done my notes for the news, but now I remember. So she brought up something, I guess, from a few years ago that happened on Vanderpump Rules. So according to Lala, and again, this is according to Lala, so we have to take it with a grain of salt. It's probably taken out of context. She probably put her own spin on it, etc. But basically, she says that during the season where Lala's dad passed away, Ariana at one point told her to like toughen the fuck up or something like that. I just don't think she would have said it like that. Like, I remember at the reunion, I remember Lala was getting in shit because she had been a complete asshole and yelled at like multiple people. And I remember Ariana saying at the reunion, like, "You don't, you know, your dad dying is not an excuse to be an asshole to people." I remember that. Is that what Lala's talking about? Because that's not really the same thing. So she's claiming that she still has animosity about that, and that, you know, she was expected to toughen up, but maybe Ariana needs to. I mean, Ariana did. She showed up for everything. So what's the problem? Like, fuck off. Anyways, so Lala needs to stop talking, and she just keeps digging herself deeper and deeper and deeper. Not a good look. All right, so next we got to talk about Brandi Glanville and Andy Cohen. So if you have not been on social media much lately, you may not have heard about this, but basically Brandi exposes Andy's text messages and alleges he was pressuring her to sleep with Bravo employees. Okay, so when I read, you know, Brandi's quote and kind of her description of what happened, I kind of had like a, you know, sort of like an image in my head, like she paints a picture. Okay, so I'm going to read the quote first. So this is from Brandi. "At BravoCon, Andy texted me saying that he wanted me to hook up with his stage manager. And I almost felt like, do I have to do this?" She tells The Sun. "He was saying, 'I want you, my employee, to fuck another one of my employees. And then also, by the way, I think you should fuck Austin. He has eyes for you. Your boss should never talk to you that way. We are not friends. We do not hang out outside of work ever, and we were at a work event. I felt this tremendous amount of pressure to please him, but that was too far. I'm not going to go and sleep with someone. He literally thought I would do it. That's the disgusting part. And as my boss, telling him I need to sleep with another employee that he employs, he's got problems. Okay, there is nothing she said in that quote that I disagree with. That should not happen. That's inappropriate. He's out of line. Now, whether that's what is actually happening in these texts is a different story, because she released the actual text and there's a lot of debate about, like, were lines crossed or were they not? So I'm going to read them. Okay. So this is from Andy. By the way, next time I see you, I want to hear all the sex stuff you've heard about me. And then Brandy replies, ha ha. Okay. Andy says in another text, so I don't know if these are in any order. Like, you know, this is exactly the next text that came or what was cut out, because clearly these are just like chunks of messages. So next is, I remember Marco was giving you tea, but you know everybody, so I'm sure there is more. And then Brandy says, I really haven't heard that much, honestly, other than Marco. That's it. So I don't know what they're talking about. Okay, that is useless. Andy says, kind of hoping you and my stage manager hooked up. Okay, it was past tense. So that kind of gives, like, I'm just saying, that does kind of give the impression that, like, you know, maybe they were flirting or the stage manager was hitting on her. I don't know what the situation was. But yeah, we don't see what texts come before that. So it's very much, you know, it is kind of hard to judge. And yes, there is the argument that you just shouldn't, as a boss, say any of this, which I agree with. Do I think this is like the most incriminating thing ever? Not really. Okay, but let's go. And then, okay, and then Brandy writes back, I think he wants you, with a bunch of exclamation points. And then Andy replies, ha, 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 ha. So that's the other thing. In that context, like, it starts to just feel like they're just joking around and that she's in on it. So that yeah. Then Andy says something to her that, again, we don't know the context. I was glad too. That was so dumb for her to say, given her situation. Brandy says, exactly. I think she was trying to bait me. Andy says, I really wanted you and Austin to get together. He had his eyes on you. And then Brandy says, he's already DM'd me like 4 times, Shep too, but Austin had his girl with him. I'm going to Charleston for sure, with a winking face. And I don't even like blondes. We need more male options. So I don't know, like, were they talking about like setting her up with someone? Is this him saying like, you know, you should sleep with Austin for your career? Like, you can interpret it multiple ways. You can interpret it as like, yes, a boss and an employee, but they've kind of crossed a line into friendship. Like, this does seem like two friends texting, and I could see how, like, you know, maybe she on her end feels like she has to respond and say these things, but I can also see how, like, he thinks it's two friends joking around. And I can see how, like, you know, on the show, Andy will also be like, hey, who do you think is hot? From, like, he does this on Watch What Happens Live. He'll be like, you know, he even has a game like swipe left. Like, do you think he's hot? Like, or whatever, like, let's, you know, you want to go on a date with this person. And he does that to the men and the women. So it's just, it's not as black and white as Brandy kind of made it out to be. You know, listen, I think that all this, I think Andy needs to be a lot more careful, and he needs to kind of like stop doing this as like a, just a rule, like trying to hook people up, etc. He needs to just kind of let it happen naturally instead of trying to like put this pressure on people. But at the same time, when I read these texts and, like, you know, Brandy's kind of like partaking in the conversation, and she seems like she's joking around with a friend, and it doesn't seem like anything that incriminating. Like, it's not like you have to sleep with him or you'll be fired or something like that. Or, you know, hey, are you going to fuck Austin? Like, it's not like that. It's just like, oh, Austin had his eyes on you, eh? Like, so that's why it's just kind of like, it's a little bit of a nothing burger, I think. But, you know, it depends on who you ask. There's definitely different opinions on it. I can kind of see both of them. But I would say that the majority of people, I will say, like in the comments on these stories, think this is not anything. Okay. So I don't know if it's going to impact Andy and his hosting duties and his spot at Bravo, or if maybe he's going to, I don't know, be fired or less involved. I have no idea. So we will see going forward. Okay. Let's talk about Summer House. We got a little bit of Summer House news. So first of all, Amanda has announced a sort of bathing suit collab. So she had this like Amanda Betula swim, this little, you know, like graphic, and it was like her signing it with some bikini outlines. And then it said, what did it say? Amanda Betula swim and then South Moon Under. So it seems like she's starting with like a collab. So I guess South Moon Under is already an existing bathing suit clothing retailer, and they're going to be doing like a line that I guess will be designed by Amanda, or that she'll be like collaborating with. I think that is a smart move in the sense of like she can kind of see how it does before she like puts all her money into like starting her own bikini bathing suit line or whatever. So I don't think it's a dumb move or anything. One thing that I think is a little weird is the photos that she used. Like there's like this collection of photos of her in bathing suits, and it's like, you know, Amanda Betula swim with South Moon Under and all this kind of stuff. And then, but they're all like pictures that she took from her Instagram where she's in a bikini from like past pictures. So they're like, they're not her bathing suits. They're like just from whatever random company. Like, I think even in some of them, she had like the link to like, or like tagged like whoever made that bikini. So that's a little bit like, I don't know. Like, is Amanda not a graphic designer? Like, is she not, you know, I just think she could have done better than this. And like, can you just wait until you have one of your own bikini made and then take some promo shots? Like, you're really going back to old pictures on your Instagram. And I'm not trying to be a hater. I just think even legally, you could get yourself into some hot water, like using those pictures and then kind of making it seem like maybe those are Amanda Betula swimsuits when they're not. And they're definitely not. And it's easy to prove that they're not. So yeah. Okay. Now, West has a dating show. I don't know who asked for this and who wants it. But I mean, it's on YouTube. So let's not like, you know, it's not like Bravo's giving it to him or something. It's called West Date Ever. And Game Set Match premieres Thursday. I guess that was yesterday. YouTube.com/Complex. So I guess it's with Complex who are doing it. I don't know what is going on. Listen, did I have low expectations when these two men joined the show? Yes, I always have low expectations of men on Bravo. But, and I get it, like, get your 15 minutes, get your money, I understand. But like, at the same time, read the room as well a little bit, because you got to think about the PR of it all and what the audience is thinking and stuff like that. And I just, you know, he's really just making himself look more and more like a fuckboy, I think. Or it's like on the cover, he's like lying on the ground holding flowers and there's like a woman's leg like stepping on him. So it's almost like, I don't know, it's almost like he's trying to lean into the like, I'm just like an innocent boy who like just want, like, I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to dating. And, you know, if I make mistakes, it's just because I'm like a dumb guy. Like, it's very Tom Schwartz. And I don't know, we don't need another one of those. Okay. Now, Paige DeSorbo says she and Amanda Betula will, quote, always and forever be friends despite Loverboy drama. So this is what I've been waiting for. Okay. I really hope this is part of the new season. And the fact that she has a quote about it tells me that it probably is. That's one of those PR things that you say. You know, it's like, oh, I still love her. We love each other despite this drama. I could see that maybe there's going to be a rift in that friendship, a little tear in it. It's not going to be the same as it was. And I don't think they'll be as close because, listen, Amanda is married to the troll named Kyle, and Paige seems pretty serious about Craig. And I also think that Paige just hates Kyle. So that's another layer to add to it. And I don't think she's ever really liked Kyle that much, especially as like a partner to her friend. So I could see this causing a bit of a rift. So I don't know. The fact that she felt like she needed to say this kind of tells me that, I mean, she was probably asked about it, yes, but at the same time, I'm wondering kind of what's going on filming right now. I really hope we don't have to wait a year for Summer House. I think we do, but it's gonna fucking suck that we do. Okay, so what are we going to next? Let's get into some Married to Medicine. I just have one story about that. And if you are a Married to Medicine fan, you will laugh as soon as I tell you this. Toya is building another house. Okay. All of us who watch Married to Medicine, no explanation is needed for why it's funny. Toya has had the most checkered past when it comes to building houses. It's like she's in a mansion, but she's renting it. Then she finally buys one, but it's, you know, then she wants a different one, and then she buys another one. And then she's like, I built my dream house with a two-story closet. And then we're like, great. And then she moves again. Like, it is just, and you know, they've had financial problems, issues with, like, they had a big debt at one point that they had to pay off. And I think if I remember correctly, they even had like a party to celebrate like paying it off or whatever. But people are always kind of making jokes about like, why are they always moving? Like, why can't they stay in one steady place? And I think the biggest shock was when she built the quote unquote dream house from scratch. And then they didn't even stay there that long. Like, it was like, you got to stay in a house long enough so that you can make some good equity on it. Like, I understand with new constructions, for the most part, you can make equity almost right away. But at the same time, it's like, you know, do you not want like your kids to have some stability in terms of where they're living? And it's just, it's a lot. So she's building another one. So I guess here we go. The storyline will continue. And we do also have some, what's next? Oh yeah, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Just wanted to give you a quick update on that because all the Atlanta fans, including myself, are desperate for this new season. They have wrapped filming. Thank you, Jesus, as Melissa Gorga would say. They've wrapped filming on season 16. Okay, so we are ready. I'm hoping we're going to get a trailer and we're going to get Real Housewives of Atlanta in the fall. That would be fantastic. Love that for us. And that's it. I just wanted to give you that update. Next, we're going to talk about Salt Lake City. Fantastic trailer. Loved it. 10 out of 10. Give them their flowers, all that kind of stuff. If you want all my thoughts on the trailer, it's on the Patreon. And let's first talk about how Lisa Barlow is being sued again in relation to her booze business. Okay. So she's got her Vita Tequila, as we all know. And apparently her and her husband are in the legal hot seat again, facing a new lawsuit from someone who's claiming they borrowed tons of money for Vita Tequila and never paid it back. So this person is William M. McGeary and claims that John Barlow told McGeary's son Vita Tequila needed cash for raw materials to fill orders. He agreed to loan them $400,000. The due date to pay the money back was December 2023, and he has not received anything. Okay. So, you know, we've heard this before. Okay. Because Lisa has had, you know, she was hit with a lawsuit from Lux Marketing when Bart Carlson sued her. Right. So this is not the first time she's been in trouble. However, there has been an update because this lawsuit has now been dismissed. Okay. The Salt Lake Tribune, posted a story like a few days after saying that the third lawsuit, so this is her third, has been dismissed. So that probably means that she paid them, let's be honest, because if you're being sued and that's bad press and then all of a sudden it goes away, I bet you she was like, okay, fine, here's the money. Right? Like, she probably just was going to try not to give it up. But then when the lawsuit came, you know. So yeah, more shady dealings from Ms. Barlow. What was the other thing I was going to say? We're all very excited for the upcoming season, which, by the way, it premieres on September 18th. So that is pretty soon. Okay. So get your snowsuits on, ladies. A few things. We know there's some shifting alliances, but there was a picture of Lisa, like her promo Bravo picture. Meredith commented with some clapping hands. Lisa said, love you. Meredith said, right back at you. So that's interesting. I guess they are tight again. And Meredith also said in reply to Lisa's Purple Hearts, we got this. Okay. We also have two newbies, Brittany Bateman and Melly Workman. Or I think it's Melly, but it could be Melly. Sorry, we'll see, I guess. And they are joining as friends of. So that's exciting to kind of get some new people in the mix. I think overall, Salt Lake City's been pretty successful with new people. I think Angie has been a huge success. Took a little time for the audience to warm up. Maybe Angie Harrington wasn't, but she was fun to make fun of. So that was okay. I didn't mind her as a friend of to just like poke fun at. Okay, our next story comes from Real Housewives of Orange County, the other MVP franchise right now. OC and Salt Lake are just, they're just the best. So, I mean, right now, everything changes, as we know. So apparently, as if you watched yesterday, and spoiler alert, okay, because this came out in last night's episode, if you haven't watched it yet, Alexis talks about how her and John are threatening to release videos of Shannon from the night of the DUI that will ruin her life. Now, according to the episode last night, the video is of Shannon almost running over John's daughter with her car. So I don't know what the situation was. I don't know if it's true. All we have right now is taking Alexis and John's word for it. And I bet you if it's true, Shannon doesn't even remember. So this is like apparently Ring video camera footage. Listen, it's fucked up for them to hold. If that's true, that's obviously really fucked up. And when you are drunk and you drive, you can kill someone. That's exactly what can happen. Obviously, it wouldn't be intentional, but it doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't matter what the intentions are. Okay. And almost running someone over is inexcusable. Okay. Now, there's another immoral thing happening as well, which is, you know, this whole like kind of blackmail situation. Like, isn't that kind of illegal? I don't know. It's like he's suing her and then he's also like sort of threatening to blackmail her with this video. It's just because it's like, you know, Shannon obviously wants him to drop the lawsuit and wants to just give him a settlement and he's refusing it. So it feels like he's like holding the video over her head, like, give me the full 75K, because she made an offer, a settlement offer, and it was not the full 75K. At least that's the impression I got from last night's episode. So I feel like he's kind of using the video sort of as a threat, which that's like pretty fucked up. And I do fully agree with Emily that it's what she said last night, which was that, you know, if you two are so happy, just ride off into the sunset. Like, why do you have to like bring this up on camera and try and ruin her life? Because this isn't like a little thing. This is like a big thing, you know? So Shannon, in an interview with Entertainment Tonight, said that she did offer to pay Dirty John, as people are calling him, the 75K for the facelift loan, because she knew the legal fees were going to be more than that. But I guess the real reason he denied it. Okay, so I guess she did offer him the full 75. I was under the impression, because she just said, I offered him a settlement. And when she said that to Tamara, to me, that kind of put up like an antenna of like, okay, I bet you it wasn't the full 75. Maybe it was close, but she's saying she did offer the full 75. I'm not sure if I believe that's true, but apparently the big thing was that he didn't want to sign a mutual non-disparaging agreement, okay? Which would mean that the two of them cannot say bad things about each other in the press and on social media. And if it's mutual, that means she wouldn't be able to either. Again, if he's so over her and she's so toxic, and he's so in love with, what's her name? Alexis, Jesus Jugs. Why not sign that? Why not take the money, get your money back and sign it, or do a counteroffer? If she didn't, you know, do the full 75, say, okay, I'll sign it, but I need the full 75 and then I'll sign it. Like, I don't know. Okay. So Shannon says, though, the truth is that he just wants to humiliate her, and she can't believe that Bravo brought Alexis back on the show. I mean, Shannon, have you had your head in the sand for the last 10 years? Do you not watch any other Bravo shows? Of course they would. Okay. She also says that John added a fraud component to the lawsuit, and he's claiming that Shannon intentionally took money from him. I don't see how Shannon just like took $75,000 without him knowing or something like shady like that. You loan the money to her. Okay. So just stop. You either loaned or maybe even gifted it to her. Just saying. Tamra said the videos that John is talking about will probably come up at the reunion. So this isn't an interview. And she kind of defends John by saying he didn't take out his phone and start filming her, but instead she was caught on his security cameras that he has in and outside the house. Tamra also says Shannon should leave John alone. I mean, it doesn't really seem like she's not leaving him alone. It seems like he's not leaving her alone. That's, and again, maybe there's stuff we're missing. I don't know. But to me, that's what it seems. Okay. As an outside impartial viewer, that's what I can make of it at this point. Gina has also responded to everyone making fun of her confessional look and basically said, like, I get it, guys. This looks horrible. Okay. And that she maybe didn't realize how bad it was going to look on camera. So this is the one where she's got the blonde bob and she's got like a weird side part that just isn't working and this dress that's just not attractive. And you listen, this is not going in on Gina's looks because she's a beautiful woman, but this is about the outfit and the hair, which can be changed and should be. And yeah, listen, we've got a lot of confessional looks that, you know, they'll go down in history as really bad ones. And Gina, you are joining a long line of Bravo tradition in, you know, the confessional looks that we will forever make fun of. The first one that always comes to my mind is Ashley Darby and that curly wig. Yeah, that was not good. Okay, let's talk about some Roni news, old and new. Okay, so in old Roni news, Jill Zarin's daughter, Allie, is engaged. Wow. I feel, guys, like, honestly, how old do you feel when you hear that? Like, wasn't it just yesterday that Jill was shuffling her on the plane to fat camp? Memories, right? That was so fucked up, by the way. Anyways, she's engaged. So yay, Allie, go you. Congratulations. I hope she's happy and that he's a nice guy. Meanwhile, in new Roni news, comments by Bravo posted, it was a clip, okay, where Brynn and Uba were feuding and there's some responses on it. And Uba replies to it saying, when you disguise evilness as a job description. And then Chanel Ayan, who by the way is Uba's cousin, if you didn't know that, says, and just like that, Uba ate. And then Scout the City, who is, what's her name, Sai, replied at Uba with laughing face emojis. So does that mean that Sai is also anti-Brynn? Interesting. I think we will have some shifting dynamics. So listen, I know the trailer wasn't like everything we all wished it would be and more, but I'm still looking forward to the new season. Okay. I don't care what anyone says. I'm looking forward. Okay. We do have quite a bit of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills news. Okay. So, you know, because there's been some updates on the Tom Girardi trial. So he took the stand, which is a big deal, okay? Because we haven't really had that since all this mess started, which I cannot believe it's been like since the pandemic this has been going. But he took the witness stand, okay, on Thursday to testify in his own defense. He says, here's a few quotes, every client got every penny that every client was supposed to get, okay? The firm was doing so well because of the wonderful people who worked there and still work there, he said. Then they kind of cross-examined him to sort of like, you know, test his mental acuity for the jurors because he's been kind of claiming he's got Alzheimer's, etc. And they asked him, is your law firm still open, Tom? Tom said, yes. Then they said, Tom, what's my name? Tom said, I don't know. Bad, mean, terrible. It's one of those. Okay. Then Girardi, so I don't know if that proves anything. I'm not an expert when it comes to, you know, mental acuity and that. So I don't want to comment on that. But Girardi said he worked more than 50 hours a week, took on big cases. And basically, when Cross asked about specific cases where he's accused of stealing clients' settlement funds, he minimized his role and denied misconduct. When asked about Joseph Ruy Gomez, who had won a settlement of more than $50 million for burns he suffered in San Bruno, California gas explosion, Girardi acknowledged working on the case but denied misappropriating funds. Okay. He even told the jury that he never took a salary. I wanted more and more of the money to go to the wonderful people who worked there. I mean, how can you say you didn't take a salary? Tell me how you afford that home, how you have had an international jet and a domestic jet, how your wife is flying her entire glam squad. Because that was all before she had a lot of Beverly Hills money. You know, that was like her first season. So none of that makes sense. Okay. He shifted a lot of his blame to Chris Kamen, who is also charged with wire fraud in connection with theft of client money. Okay. So, you know, he said Kamen was pretty clever in stealing millions of dollars. Well, doesn't that imply that you kind of knew about it? I don't know. Anyways, he was cross-asked what he would have done if he'd known earlier about the alleged embezzlement. And he said, I'd go crazy. Okay. Then one of the cross-examining lawyers asked him how he was feeling, and he said, that's up to you. You've got to be nice. Okay, he's a little sass in him there. They also asked him why he told the Ruy Gomez family their settlement was $5 million when it was 10 times as large at $53 million. And Girardi said, I wouldn't have said that. There's no way in the world. I didn't intentionally ever tell somebody the wrong thing. Okay. He also kind of said, or Girardi claimed that another client had, that basically one of his clients had drug problems, and he kind of suggested he was like withholding the money in their best interest. But even if that's true, like that's not your place as a lawyer. Your place is to get the settlement. If they blow it all on drugs, or they could all, a person without a drug addiction could blow it all if they're just bad with managing money. Like that's really, that's not your place as a lawyer. Okay. Okay. What else was said? I think that's the most important thing. So I'm just looking at the rest of the quotes. Oh yeah. He said any holdbacks were, you know, because he was helping them when they were going through divorces or drug issues, and it was not for him to take the money. Again, that's not on him. That's not his responsibility. He says every client got every penny that they were supposed to get. And I swear to you, got every single penny that they were supposed to get. So he says that a few times. Okay. So basically, you know, that those are like the key things. And I don't know, we're going to see how things shake out. I hope that he suffers some type of consequences because this man is truly evil. In other lighter Beverly Hills news, Sutton has been under speculation with her store. So somebody took a picture of it and it was posted, and it's the front of Sutton's store and it says for lease with a phone number on it. So people were like, oh, you know, the store is not doing well. What's going on with it, etc. So Sutton did respond and she said, I hear those streets are talking about my store. If you want the real tea, just ask the pot. Good things coming. And I love WeHo and we are in this together. Hashtag sustainable fashion. And then she says, at Sutton Brands are only getting better. Thank you for your patience. So I've heard that she's going to be moving it all online, or that most of the sales are online. I believe she said, so yeah, I guess we shall see. So maybe she's kind of like being vague about it. So that could be a way of her kind of saying, listen, the company is not going under, but don't worry about it. Cause she doesn't actually say the store is not closed. So maybe the brick and mortar store is closed, which I mean, that isn't like that big of a deal nowadays, cause that's happening a lot. The other thing that we have from Beverly Hills is that Buying Beverly Hills, so that's Mauricio's Netflix show, has been canceled. Apparently season 2 had low ratings and low viewing numbers. Okay, so there you go. So I guess Mauricio's not going to be a star in his own right. I mean, not that I think he cares that much. He's got a lot of money. But yeah, I'm not that surprised because I don't know. Like I watched like an episode and I was like, this is terrible. And listen, no offense to Kyle's daughters. I'm sure they're good, nice people, but they're just not entertaining. They just all are, to me, fall very, very flat. And I just find them like, they're not funny. They don't have charisma. They're very stiff like statues. It's just, they're just not made for TV. I'm sorry. They just aren't. Okay. So what do we have next? Oh, yes. We have some Real Housewives of New Jersey news. So there's been rumors floating around that Teresa was asked to leave Real Housewives of New Jersey. This was kind of suggested by Frank Catania. But TMZ reports that that is not true, which is, again, how many times do I tell you all here, do not listen to casting rumors. They never pan out. They're usually wrong. It takes a while. Wait till we have official confirmation from the Bravo Liberty or People magazine. Other than that, or Bravo, other than that, it's a rumor. People love doing casting rumors and making guesses. Okay. Frank Catania has also responded because I guess he had made some comments, and he basically said he originally said that Teresa may not return. Okay. And this was to Page Six. So Frank replied and said, so first at Martini's with Eddie replied and said, Frank Catania Senior has denied saying he knows about any Bravo casting decisions. Frank, share the truth on here, since Page Six seems to just post fake rumors created by low budget accounts. Okay. And then Frank Catania replied and said, that is correct. I have no idea what the network is doing, and I can assure you that I am the low man on the totem pole and will be the last to find out when they do make a decision. Quite simply, I said if Teresa was not to come back, it would not be because they would fire her, but would probably ask her to leave and get some kind of a spinoff. Unfortunately, the media puts a spin on everything to the negative. Okay, so there you go. And last piece of news for today is Real Housewives of Miami. So first of all, we all remember that Marcus Jordan was seen sniffing a white substance in Paris. And recently, Larsa posted a photo of herself with, you know, just like a selfie holding a espresso martini. And Portia replied, Portia Williams from Real Housewives of Atlanta, and said, sipping, not sniffing. And then Larsa replied and wrote, never that, with like a heart face emoji. So Larsa is obviously throwing some shade at her ex and also being like, just so you know, guys, just because he did it doesn't mean I did. Okay. Now, the other story to come out of Real Housewives of Miami this week is that Julia and her wife, Martina, as we all know, who is the, you know, tennis pro, adopt two sons, and they are over the moon. So I think we all remember that for the last couple seasons, Julia has been kind of bugging Martina for kids and, you know, saying she wants kids and she wants like to adopt and all that. And they've been talking about it a lot. So there we go. I guess there's Julia's storyline for the next season. Wow. All right, everyone. So thank you so much for joining me today. You've all been fantastic. Again, please rate, review, subscribe, do all the things. I'm going to put up my Instagram post. Please like it, share it, comment, all that stuff. Help me with the algorithm. Love you all so much. Thanks for joining me. And you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.